Oh, God's people ought to say amen right there. Thank God. I'm glad I'm a missing out on them things this evening. Revelation 13 tonight in your King James Bible. Thank God for the word of the Lord. I hope you got it with you tonight. In fact, just hold it up right there to me this evening. You got your Bible? Boy, that looks good. Amen. Praise the Lord. Find Revelation 13. And I don't know how long we'll be tonight. I might be about 20 minutes and I might be about 4 hours. Amen. I just don't know just yet. Amen. And one thing I like about Calvary Baptist Tabernacle, y'all don't even care. Amen. You don't even care. Stand with me if you will. And while you found your place there, let me just say this before I even read my text. I beg of you this evening, I beg you, stay with me. All right, I'm going to make a little disclaimer here even before I read my text. I'm going to be all over the place and you're going to be thinking, what in the world, what is he trying to say? And you're going to look at me like a calf staring at a new gate, but I'm going somewhere and it's going to be a little journey. It's going to be a little journey to get there, but I need you to hang with me so we can get what God wants us to have. I'm continuing our thoughts this evening on the subject of worship. I'm going to preach on worship tonight if the Lord will help me. And I need His help. If you can pray, I want you to pray. And all of us have ears. You're going to read it here in just a minute. All of us in here tonight have ears to hear. And so we need to hear tonight what God has to say. I believe tonight, I'm not just saying this, I don't believe that you'll in your lifetime hear very many in relation to all the sermons you hear. You're not going to hear too many life-changing sermons or messages. Your life is changed by constant exposure to truth. You begin to grow. That's why we emphasize preaching the Word of God. Even when you don't feel something, when you don't sense something, you still ought to get under the sound of preaching, because constant exposure to truth will grow your life. But I believe tonight could be one of them messages that the truth is there, that it could change the way that you live tomorrow. And that's my prayer, and that's my heart's desire this evening for the message this evening. Hang with me. And I may just kind of slow down and try to teach through where I want to get to. But please, how many say, preacher, I'll uplift my hand. I'll do my very best to stay with you tonight. Okay? Now that's everybody. Hang with me. Revelation 13, and begin reading in verse number 1. And I stood upon the sand of the sea and saw a beast rise up out of the sea, having 7 heads and 10 horns, and upon his horns 10 crowns. And upon his head the name of blasphemy. And the beast which I saw was like unto a leopard, and his feet were as the feet of a bear, and his mouth is the mouth of a lion. And the dragon gave him his power and his seat and great authority. And I saw one of his heads as it were wounded to death, and his deadly wound was healed, and all the world wondered after the beast. Now verse 4 will be where we lift our thought from. And they worshipped the dragon, that is the devil, and they worshiped the dragon, which gave power unto the beast. And they worshiped the beast, saying, who is like unto the beast, who is able to make war with him? And there was given unto him a mouth speaking great things and blasphemies, and power was given unto him to continue 42 months. And he opened his mouth in blasphemy against God, to blaspheme, listen, to blaspheme his name and his tabernacle and them that dwell in heaven. The Bible said in verse 7, and it was given unto him to make war with the saints and overcome them. And power was given him over all kindreds and tongues and nations. And all that dwell upon the earth shall worship him whose names are not written in the book of life of the Lamb slain from the foundation of the world. Now listen to verse 9. If any man have an ear, let him hear. If any man have an ear, Let him hear. You'll find early in the book of Revelation, let me just emphasize this for a moment before we pray, that in Revelation in chapter number 2 and 3, you have the Lord's message to the seven churches of Asia Minor. One thing in common with every message, when he ended, he said, "He that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith unto the churches." That's a message to the church. This is a passage about the tribulation period. "And if any man have an ear, let him hear," oftentimes is addressed to God's people. And so tonight, if you got an ear, I want you to hear and be attentive tonight and follow me as we get where we want to go. Father, I want to come to you one more time. Lord, I'm desirous tonight of the touch and the power of God. Lord, to be upon our voice and upon our words and upon our body. God, you know how weak our voice is tonight. You know how frail we are in frame and in mind and, Lord, in body. And, Lord, we pray for that special touch and that special unction, Lord, that it takes to preach the Word of God. And then, Lord, I pray that every word out of my mouth tonight would be empowered by the Spirit of God. May you take it, Lord, like thunder in our ears and thunder it forth in our hearts tonight. And may it make an impact. And may we understand tonight that we do have an enemy, and that enemy has a design and, Lord, has an intention for our life that is direct and contrary to the plan and the will of God for our lives. Teach us tonight, Lord, about worship, Lord, this aspect that you've laid before us tonight. And Lord, all that you do for us, we'll thank you for it. In Jesus' name we pray, amen and amen. You can be seated. We've been preaching on the subject of worship for several months now. And one thing that we have emphasized, three truths rather that we've emphasized, is that when you come to the Bible and the study of worship of God, that God, my friend, desires our worship. We have a God tonight, the God of the Bible, desires that you and I, my friend, would give Him a worship. He's desirous. And Jesus told the woman at the well that the Father seeketh such to worship Him. He has a desire tonight for you and for me and my family and your family to give Him all the worship that, my friend, the Bible says that we ought to give to Him. And so we understand tonight that God desires worship. We know this evening that God demands our worship. Beyond just desiring it, God has said in His Word and commanded you and I over and over and over again that we are, Brother Tony, to worship Him. You say, "I don't feel like worshiping." Well, you better worship anyway. God has demanded that you and I worship God. This evening we understand this. Not only does God desire and God demand, but God deserves our worship. When you come to the book of Revelation and what John's seen in Revelation chapter 4 and 5, the saints of God in heaven gather around the throne and they make the statement in worshiping God that He is worthy to receive glory and honor and riches and power. And really what they're saying is that we're not worthy and we don't deserve to be able to worship as somebody like you, but you are worthy and you do deserve a worship. And when we think about worship, I want to say this evening that nobody deserves worship save the God of the Bible. And we see men and women and boys and girls and families and nations tonight that, my friend, are giving worship to so many other things apart from God. But at the end of the day, the only one that deserves and is truly worthy to be worshiped by mankind is the Lord God of glory, and specifically that of the Lord Jesus Christ. I'm glad tonight that He's taught me some things about worship. Amen. I'm going to be preaching here soon out of John 4. And Jesus, with that woman at the well, one of the things He used to bring her to conviction was that she didn't know anything about worship. He dealt with her water. He dealt with her wickedness. But then He brought it all to a head and said, "You worship what you don't know anything about." And so, my friend, listen, God saved us to be worshipers of the God of glory. We're not to be worshiping Buddha, and we're not to be worshiping Allah. And by the way, let me say this, that we're not all the same. We're not all worshiping the same God. The God that I worship tonight is not Allah. It's not the same God of the Muslim tonight. Amen. We're worshiping the Lord God of glory. Amen. The one that said, "I am the Lord, there is none beside Mary. Amen. And he is desirous and demanding and deserving of all our worship. The fact of the matter is tonight, if you're a born-again child of God, your life is to be lived worshiping God. Amen. You might as well say amen. That's about as good as it's going to get tonight. Amen. I'm telling you this evening, your life is to be lived giving worship and glory and honor and praise to the Lord God of heaven. How you doing on that? When we come to Revelation in chapter number 13, we're in the tribulation time and period. And I'm not going to get into all the specifics and details of the prophecies and the things that John saw. But in Revelation 13, John said that he sees this beast come up. And this beast has behind it the backing and the authority and the power of the dragon that is mentioned in Revelation in chapter number 12. Now the dragon is none other than the devil, and he is cast out of heaven in the previous chapter, and he draws with him a third of the stars, that is the angels. And now in the tribulation period, but Gerald, he begins to empower the beast and that one that is known as the Antichrist. And the Bible said in our verses that we read tonight that the dragon gave him power. Where's the verse? In verse number 2. And the dragon gave him his power and his seat and great authority. That literally means when the Antichrist comes in on the seat, that he is going to be backed by a spiritual power and a spiritual authority. Amen. Behind him, none other than the devil is going to begin to work through his life and through his dealings with mankind. And he's going to give him a seat in which he's going to sit upon, and there he's going to govern the affairs of the world. Now this evening, notice with me, the Bible said that this beast, he is wounded in one of his heads, and so he suffers. There is a suffering that takes place. And my friend, in the tribulation period, men are looking at this man, this white horse rider, and he is wounded, but the Bible said his deadly wound was healed, and at the healing of that wound, all the world wondered after the beast. That is, they were amazed. They said, and this was an unusual man. They said, and that, Brother Dean, this is a man that stands out among men. This man has some sort of supernatural ability. And if you'll study other passages in the Word of God, you'll find indeed that this Antichrist, when he shows up, he's going to have all sorts of power that he's going to put on display. But that power is not of God, it's of the devil. Now the Bible said, when he is healed, all the world wonders, and there is a scene that begins to take place in verse number 4. Notice what the Bible said. The Bible said, and they, that is the world, they worshiped. Who are they worshiping? The Bible said in the tribulation period, they're going to take what ought to be God's, and they're going to give it to the devil. The Bible said, and they worshiped the dragon, which gave power unto the beast, and they worshiped the beast, saying, who is like unto the beast, who is able to make war with him? Now look here. In the tribulation period, here's what men are going to do. They're going to, my friend, begin to worship the Antichrist. They're going to bow their neck. They're going to begin to fling him kisses. They're going to begin to honor his name. They're going to begin to give him the same thing that the redeemed give the Lord in Revelation 4 and 5. They're going to gather around Brother Tony, and they're going to worship him and glorify him. And I don't know if they know it or they don't know it, but behind the scene, the Bible said they're worshiping the dragon. And my friend, beyond the man, there is something greater that they're worshiping, and they're bowing their neck to the devil. Are you with me tonight? I'm talking about something that God has made man to give to God. This crowd turns around, and now they're worshiping worshiping the enemy of God. And look with me, if you will, I believe it's in verse number 6. This beast, as they began to worship him, he begins to speak what the Bible said are blasphemies. And he begins to blaspheme God. Is that what your Bible said? Amen. He begins to blaspheme God. And then the Bible said this, and to blaspheme what? His name and his what? His tabernacle and the saints that dwell in heaven. Now consider this with me tonight. When we consider verse 4, that they're worshiping, literally bowing to a man, bowing to the Antichrist, they are giving a man what belongs to God. Behind the scene, the devil is there, and little do they know, they're not just bowing to a man, they're bowing to the devil. Now I want to say this tonight, that the devil has always desired worship. Amen. When you go back, my friend, even before his fall, you'll read in Ezekiel in chapter number 28, and there is a prophecy given to the king of Tyre. And my friend, the king of Tyre, we believe that backing him was none other than the devil. And Brother Dean, in that prophecy, amen, it goes beyond the man and beyond the king, and it goes, my friend, to speaking to none other than the devil himself. And Ezekiel 28, here's the prophecy that, my friend, God had made Satan to be a brilliant creature. He was of the covering cherubs, the Bible said in Ezekiel 28, and that the Lord had created him in all this magnificence and all this beauty and all this grandeur and all this, I mean, just wonderful specimen of a creation and God has made in it. And when the Bible calls him the cherubim that cover it, it literally means, in Brother Will, he was involved in a great way in the scene of worship and glory. You remember when the Lord gave instructions to build the Ark of the Covenant at the earthly tabernacle, the Lord said, I want you to put some cherubims up there, and their wings are going to outstretch. And if you'll see a picture of the Ark of the Covenant, what you'll find is the wings of them angels, that they come up and they touch and they represent, amen, the covering cherubs that cover the glory of God in the time when the angelic host of heaven would worship God, the glory of God would shine. And Lucifer, before his fall, was given preeminence in heaven, and he led all the angelic hosts up there in worship to the God of glory. And something began to happen. Ezekiel 28 said that you did well until pride and iniquity was found in your heart. And that, my friend, the devil began to see all that God was getting, and he began to look at all his own beauty and all his own abilities and all his own potential, and he began to swell up with pride and said, I'm going to be like the Most High. And if you go to Isaiah in chapter number 14, Isaiah speaks directly to Lucifer, and he said, man, you did well. In fact, turn there. Let me read it to you tonight, and let's let the Word of God speak for itself. In Isaiah chapter number 14, now don't forget, you promised me you'd do the best you could follow me tonight. I'm going somewhere, but it's going to take me just a minute, and we'll be done when we get there. In Isaiah chapter number 14, Brother Dean, let me see your Bible, if you will. In Isaiah chapter number 14, notice with me in verse number... Amen. Verse number 12. How art thou fallen from heaven, O Lucifer, son of the morning? How art thou cut down to the ground, which didst weaken the nations? For thou, listen now, for thou hast said in thine heart. Here's what Lucifer said in the midst, my friend, of being given preeminence in heaven, of seeing all worship be directed to God. Here's the place that he got to. The Bible said, I will ascend into heaven. I will exalt my throne above the stars of God. Watch it now. I will sit also upon the mount of the congregation in the sides of the north. I will ascend above the heights of the clouds. I will be like the Most High. Listen, the Word of God is saying there, it's giving you an insight in the heart of Lucifer as he began, my friend, to be brought down low. And my friend, and all that belonged to God, all that was being given to God,
Lucifer said, I want a piece of that. I want what they are giving him. I'm sick and tired of just being the second man. I'm sick and tired of just having a ministry and leading and directing the angels to worship God. I'm a beautiful creation. And so what I'm going to do, it's my mission, and I'm going to ascend above God. I'm going to get to the place that everything at heaven is giving God is going to go to me. And the devil, since the time of his fall, has desired to have given to him in the matter of worship that which only belongs to God. His goal tonight is to present himself as God. In fact, we'll see it in a moment, but in one of the temptations of the Lord, there in the wilderness, the devil took him up on the pinnacle of the high mountain, and in a moment of time, he showed him all the kingdoms of the world. And what did the devil say? The devil said, if you'll bow down and you'll worship me, I'll give you all of these. What's he trying to present? He's trying to present himself as being the God. He desires worship. In the tribulation period, in the verses we've read, the day is going to come when men are going to come and bow down to the Antichrist, and little do they know, and my friend, they are literally going to begin to give the devil that which he has always desired out of mankind. Here's my thought tonight. When the Bible says they worship the dragon and they worship the beast, they're literally worshiping the devil through the Antichrist. Where does this take place? If you will, go to 2 Thessalonians in chapter number 2. In 2 Thessalonians 2, we understand that the devil has desired to take that worship that belongs to God. In the tribulation period, it's going to happen. Here is where and it's going to happen. Let me see your book again, Brother Dave. Amen, I'm too tired to walk up there and get mad. In 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, notice with me in verse number 3, let no man deceive you by any means. For that day shall not come except there come a falling away first, and that man of sin be revealed, the son of perdition. That's the Antichrist. And we read about in Revelation 13 that the Bible said men are going to come and worship him, and in doing so, they're literally worshiping the dragon, the devil. Now watch it. Who opposeth and exalteth himself above all that is called God or that is worship. In other words, he's going to magnify the Antichrist, a man of sin with the devil in it, and the devil backing him. He's going to elevate himself as God. And according to Revelation 13, what are they going to do? They're going to accept that. They're going to bow their knee and kiss his hand and give him that which belongs to God. Where is it going to take place? The Bible said in our verse here, so that he as God, sitteth in the temple of God, showing himself that he is God. Here's what's going to happen in Revelation 13. The Antichrist coming in on the scene is going to walk in the temple of God. He's going to sit down in God's house. And he's going to elevate himself as God. With the devil in him and the devil backing him, men are going to walk in to the temple of God and bow their knee and worship the devil. I want to preach tonight on this thought, worshiping Satan in the temple of God. Worshiping Satan in the temple of God. Hang with me now, you promised you'd stay with me. The devil's desire is for men to worship him. He's going to see that fulfilled in the tribulation period. You say, preacher, what an awful thought, what an awful sight. And I would agree with you tonight, at my friend, in the tribulation period, to take a place that has been dedicated to the name of the Lord, to take a place at my friend, and God said to Solomon he to establish his name there, and my friend, to take a place that has been completely and totally dedicated it. Amen. To God walking through and God visiting there and God dwelling there and God showing up there. Or a man to walk in and the devil to sit down in that man and through that man. Others come into the very house of God, the very tabernacle of God, the very temple of the Lord, and to worship the devil in the temple of God is a very sad and serious and disdainful thing. It's a wicked scene. They are doing that. The devil is doing that in such a way to poke at God. He's doing it, my friend, in such a way and with such a reason in heart and in mind. Hey, Brother Jerry, he wants to shove it in the face of God. And he's in the temple of God. And this crowd has come to the temple of God, not to worship the Lord, but to worship the dragon, the devil, Satan, Lucifer. God's enemy in God's house. And those in the temple of God who ought to be worshiping the Lord are now worshiping Satan. You say, preacher, that's terrible. I agree with you. Let me say this tonight, that the devil's desire has always been to get into the temple of God and have men worship him. That's what he wanted to do in heaven, in a sense, was take over the scene of worship, the house of worship, the time of praise, and giving glory to God. When the sons of God, Joan talked about the sons of God coming together and singing together praises to the Lord. The devil said, I'm going to get to the place where my throne is above God. I'm going to get to the place where I sit in his seat and in his congregation, and they worship me in the temple of God. When you come to the New Testament, the ministry of the Lord, here's where Jesus is in Matthew 4 and in Luke 4. He's led into the wilderness. The Bible said by the Spirit of the Lord to be tempted of the devil. The devil shows up and the devil begins to work on the Lord after 40 days. He's fasted and he's prayed. And my friend, he's been communing with the Father. The devil shows up in the time of weakness. He said, hey, you're awful hungry, ain't you? He said, see them stones right there? Why don't you just, if you're the Son of God, turn them into bread. Jesus looked at the devil and said, have you not read in the Scripture that man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God? He took him up to the temple, the pinnacle of the temple. He said, fling yourself off this temple. And you know that it said that he would give his angels charge over thee, lest thou dash thy foot against a stone. Jesus looked at the devil and said, thou shalt not tempt the Lord thy God. Then the devil, according to Matthew's account of the situation, the third temptation revolved. And in a moment of time, Brother Dean, the devil brought Jesus to a place and he flashed before him all the kingdoms and the glories and the grandeur of the world. And just like that, he looked at the Lord and he said, if you'll bow to me, if you'll worship me, I'll give you everything. I'll give you all the kingdoms. It belongs to me. Now he is a liar there. It don't belong to him. He is the God of this world, but it all belongs to the Lord. Somebody say amen right there. And one of these days he's going to reclaim it for himself. Amen. But the devil said, if you'll bow to me and worship me, I'll give it all to you. When you come to John chapter number 2, there's an interesting statement that the Lord makes as he walks into the temple and he looks around and the Pharisees are there, Brother A.L., and he said, hey, y'all destroy this temple and in 3 days I'll raise it up again. That crowd said, what in the world is he talking about? Does he not know how many years we've spent building this thing and have raised it up? And he thinks he's going to raise the temple back up in 3 days. What in the world is this nonsense? But the Bible said, the beloved John said that he spake concerning his body. Jesus accounted his body to be the temple of God. Do you know what the devil was trying to do, Brother Charlie, even in the earthly ministry of the Lord? He's trying to get Jesus to worship Satan in the temple of God. What a wicked thing. What a wicked thing, Brother Tim, to think about that the devil is such a hatred for God, with such a viciousness and an anger toward God that he desires, my friend, even the Lord Jesus to bow, amen, and worship Him in the temple that God had given him. It's a very wicked thing. It's going to be wicked in the tribulation period. It's wicked when Lucifer fell from heaven. Hang with me. Here's where I want to go. On several occasions, the Word of God tells the New Testament believer that you and I are the temple of God. In Revelation 21, John said that he saw New Jerusalem, but then he got a word that said that now and in this hour, the tabernacle of God is with men. Amen. Listen, the tabernacle, the temple of God tonight, it's not a building. It's not goat skins and badger skins and brazen lavers and altars of incense. It's not the temple of God tonight. God said in the New Testament age of grace, at the tabernacle of God, it is with men. The moment you got saved, the moment you got born again, in that moment of time, wherever it was, if it was in a church service and on an altar, my friend, God, in that moment of time of salvation, amen, God moved in you, and God dwells in you, and God lives in you. And according to what Paul said, we'll read in a moment, and in that moment of time, He bought you, He paid for you, and now your life and your body is the temple of God. The devil's desire for your life tonight is to make you worship him in the temple of God. He wants you to bow your knee to him. He wants you tonight to serve him. In fact, when the devil came to the Lord Jesus, and I told y'all this was scattered tonight, please hang with me. I ain't got no fancy outline. I've just got some thoughts tonight that I want us to be concerned about this evening. And when you think about worship, that belongs to God. And the devil came to the Lord and said, worship me and bow your knee. And the Lord looked at the devil and he said, it is written, thou shalt, amen, worship the Lord thy God only, and Him shalt thou serve. The devil can get you and I to the place where we, my friend, do not resist the earthly temptations and the fleshly inclinations that he brings our way every time that we bow to him, every time we yield to sin, every time that we give him, my friend, to all the snares that he sets in our way, every time we yield to fleshly desires and temptation. Listen, what we're doing is taking the temple of God and bowing down and worshiping the devil. Our generation doesn't think of it like that. We think, oh, oops, I made a mistake. I'm sorry, you know, I'm just human and humans do stupid things. And we act as if our yielding to sin and yielding to temptation and yielding to those desires that the devil, our friend, would use to draw us away, as if it's just some small light thing. But you got to understand, every time you do, every time I do, when we yield to temptation, what we're literally doing is bowing down and worshiping the devil in the temple of God. You say, that's awful deep and dark, and I know it is, but it's Babel. The moment you got saved, go to Ephesians in chapter number 2. Let me run through the Word of God and I'll wind down this evening. In Ephesians in chapter number 2, that great passage of the Word of God that deals with how men and women and boys and girls are saved. And I'm glad I'm saved tonight. Listen, you can be saved and still worship the devil in the temple of God. I got Bible for it, and I'm going to prove it to you in a moment. Watch this. The Bible said in verse number 19, now therefore, ye are no more strangers and foreigners, but fellow citizens with the saints and of the household of God. That's a good place to say, man. We're not strangers to God anymore. We're not aliens from God anymore. Thank God we've been brought into the family. We've been brought in the household. We've been made fellow citizens, what did he say? And are built upon the foundation of the apostles apostles and prophets, Jesus Christ Himself being the chief cornerstone, in whom all the building fitly framed together groweth unto an holy temple in the Lord. In other words, the day you got saved, you got hooked up into God's family, you became one of God's children, and your life is to be growing, it's to be thriving in the things of God. And one of the things that God has saved you to be, according to that passage, is Matthew, and He has saved you to be a holy temple in an ungodly world. Your life is to be a holy temple for God. The tabernacle of God is with me. It's what Jesus said in Revelation 21. I've already quoted it. And He said that He would walk in them and He would dwell in them, dwell with them, and that He would be their God and they would be His people. And friend, when God saved you and God saved me, He saved you and had to be a holy temple. Not an unholy temple, not an ungodly temple, not a temple that does anything it wants to do, not a temple that lives any old raddest way it wants to live, not a temple that lives in lasciviousness, not a temple that lives in fornication, not a temple that lives in drunkenness. But my friend, you have been saved to be a holy temple unto the Lord. When it came time, amen, I'm feeling some preaching coming on. Amen. And when it came time for the Lord to give the instruction for that earthly tabernacle, He laid out every detail. It was God's house. He told them, my friend, what to bring to it. He told them how to act in it. He told them how to dress in it. He told them every detailed instruction. Why? Because that was His temple. And over and over and over, Brother Mark, he reminded them that was to be a holy place unto the Lord. My friend, when it comes to the New Testament believer, how much more serious, Brother Joe, is it that we be a holy temple unto the Lord? I don't get the right to dress this temple any old way I want to. I don't get the right. And friend, listen, He told them what songs to listen to. He told them what songs to sing. He told them how to go about sacrificing it. He told them how to go about every minute detail. Why? Because it was His temple and He wanted it holy. The 2014 church crowd, I won't even call them Christians, have got to the place they think, well, it's my life, I'm my own, I'll do my own thing. Go with me, if you will, to 1 Corinthians in chapter number 6. If you're with me, say a good hearty amen. I need to know it. 1 Corinthians 6. This will help you now if you'll just bear with me, hang with me. 1 Corinthians 6 and verse number 19. What? Know ye not that your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost which is in you? Tonight, if you are a born-again child of God, you have somebody called the Holy Ghost living on the inside of you. In fact, we could take other passages of the Word of God, and my friend, we could prove to you tonight that not only does the Holy Ghost live in you, but God the Son lives in you, and God the Father lives in you. You are the temple of God tonight. And Paul's question is, do you not know that your body, it is your body that belongs to God? No, you know that your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost, which is in you. He is in you, which you have of God. Now listen, and ye are not your own. You're not your own anymore. You don't get to say where you're going to go, what you're going to do, what you're going to wear, what you're going to listen to. You don't get a choice about where you're going to work. You don't get the choice about where you're going to go to church. You ain't got no say-so because you ain't your own anymore. You are the temple of God. That ain't too strong, is it? God bought you and paid for you, put the Holy Ghost inside. And Paul said, as if he's amazed, what, do you not know that you are not your own? Notice what he said. For ye are bought with a price. He paid for you. If you're saved tonight, you did not save yourself. Amen. There was the Lamb of God that showed up one day and He put down the payment and He bought you. Amen. Hallelujah. You have been bought with a price, a precious price, a valuable price. You have been paid for by God. Now, what is Paul's command to them in let that they been bought and made the temple of the Holy Ghost which is in them and that they're not their own anymore? He said, here's what you do. You glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God's. Your body ain't yours and your spirit ain't yours. They are the temple of the Holy Ghost. What is the devil's desire? The devil is to take that which is God's, God's temple, and to get you to take your body and do things that are displeasing to God. And in doing so, listen, in doing so, when you do, Brother Tony, when you do and I do, we're bowing our knee and worshiping Satan in the temple of God. Oh, well, it's just a little old sin. There ain't no such thing. Every time we yield to temptation, every time we act or react in a way that is not pleasing to God, the devil stands before the temple of God and he watches God's children bow down to that temptation and he takes it as worship unto himself. Amen. Go with me to 2 Corinthians chapter 6. Y'all still with me? I'm a winding down. I'll be done soon enough. Not too soon for some of you. 2 Corinthians 6. I'm just using the scripture now. The Bible said in verse number 15, and what concord, that is accord, oneness, unity, fellowship, what concord hath Christ with Belial? The phrase that Paul uses, Belial, references, Danny, it references none other than the devil himself. Paul is asking, what unity is there between Christ and Belial? What unity, what fellowship, what accord can a child of God find? What common ground can a child of God find to stand with Christ in one hand and the devil in the other? He says, he makes the question, or what part hath he that believeth with an infidel? And what agreement, listen to this, and what agreement hath the temple of God with idols? He's writing to a crowd that has been saved out of idolatry that has been on trying to mix their idolatry with their new Christian faith. Paul made the statement to them in another passage of Scripture when he was talking about their worship of idols before they got saved. He said, you did it ignorantly, but what you was bowing down to were devils. It wasn't, Richard, it wasn't just stump and stone they were bowing down to. Behind this wood and the stone was a devil that was receiving their worship. Now he's writing to people that have been saved and he says, hey, what agreement, what grounds of agreement is there between the temple of God and with idols? He said, for ye are the temple of the living God. As God has said, I will dwell in them and walk in them and I will be their God and they shall be my people. What an encouraging thought. That I don't have to go to Jerusalem tonight to a weeping wall into a temple made with hands. I don't have to go tonight and partake in all the outward religious motion and commotion that the Jew had to come to God back. Amen. Listen, I am the temple of God and God dwells in me and walks in me. Amen. Listen, He is my God and I am His child. In light of that, Paul is saying, why in the world would you live your life unseparated from the world and its system? That is concord with Belial. What you're doing, you're taking the temple of God and you're hooking it into the world and the God of this world. And when you live a wicked, fornicating, drunken life, when you live in sin and yield to temptation, you are bowing down and worshiping Satan in the temple of God. He said, wherefore, listen, wherefore come out from among them and be ye separate, saith the Lord. In other words, my friend, how do you keep from worshiping Satan in the temple of God? You must learn how to separate yourself from the world. Now, we're in the world and everything, my friend, listen, everything, it ain't wrong, amen, to do some things in this world. There's things you can do and find joy and pleasure and a good time in, and it's not necessarily sin. But you can't be involved in everything. Amen. I'm telling you, in 2014, it is amazing the things that the child of God is trying to get away with. Man, I may preach 4 or 5 hours. Amen, amen, and amen. If you're a child of God, you have no business listening to the rock music of this world. The Word of God said, come out from among them and be ye separate. Those ears in your head belong to God. They're the temple of the Lord. You say, but I like it. That's my style of music I like. Amen, it don't matter what you like. It matters what God likes. You're not your own anymore. You are the temple of God. Well, you know, I like country music. Hey, get in line. I do too. Ain't nothing better than, amen, oh, amen, that old whiny singing. Amen. I go eat at Cracker Barrel once a week just to get a fix of it and not feel guilty. So flesh lacks it. Guess what? I can't turn it on in my truck. Amen. I listen to all of it. Amen. I listen to all of it that God wants me to listen to. You say, how much is that? Zero, because these are not my ears anymore. Amen. This body, your physical body belongs to God. Amen. Some of you old timers in your Elvis music. Elvis is wicked, 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 and burning in hell. I don't care how many gospel albums he put out, he was wicked as the devil himself. Amen, amen. Gonna go listen to Elvis and old Willie and, amen, Johnny Cash. God bless your heart. If you're saved, you're the temple of God, and you ought to treat your body as it belongs to God. Come out from among them and be ye separate. Amen. God's people don't go to the dance halls. Amen. They don't go and get their boogie on. Why? Because they're the temple of God. Claim to be saved. Claim to be, my friend, a born again child of God out in the dance halls and the honky tonks. And friend, all you're doing, if you're really born again, you are worshiping the devil in the temple of God. Every time you put that CD on, every time you listen to it, every time you cut a rag and do a boogie, and friend, the devil is there and you are worshiping Satan in the temple of God. You cannot be attached to this world and its system and bowing down to temptation and be right in as the temple of God, to be right with God in your heart. Amen. Well, you know, I'm just going to dress any old way I want to dress. I thought Paul said he was amazed that you hadn't grown up to the point you realized it wasn't your body anymore. Y'all feel that? That was all the oxygen just got sucked out the room. Well, I'm going to wear my bull fat and breeches. I don't care what any old preacher tries to say. Ain't nobody going to tell me how to dress. Oh, amen, listen, what you're doing, you're worshiping the devil. Amen. Every time you pull them up, you know what you're doing? You're just bowing down the devil. Saying, I'm saved, I'm the temple of God, but I'm going to worship the devil today. Oh, I know we don't like it. You might as well choke her down, son. I'm going to tell you something. Our generation has got to the place, my friend, they have forgot that it's God that saved them, God that dwells in on the inside, and God alone deserves our worship. And every time we do something with this body that displeases God, it's as if we have worshiped the devil in the temple of God. cussing Christians. I don't know that there is such a thing. I don't know there's such a thing as being truly born again, headed to heaven with the hammer down and be a cussing Christian. I know this, if you are born again and saved, amen, this ain't your tongue anymore. It is the anatomy of a naughty person that Solomon said in Proverbs 6, "It, my friend, speaketh lies and speaketh cursings." Every time, my friend, you use your tongue for something that is wicked, you have worshiped the devil in the temple of God. You know what the devil wants you to do? He wants you to be unfaithful to God. He wants you to lay out of church. This crowd can miss church and lay out and they don't even think anything of it. Every time they sit at the house, when they could be at the house, I'm not talking about sickness. I'm not talking about, amen, when you just can't get there. My friend, when you can get there and you won't come and you just lay out and you take it lightly, every time you do, you are bowing down and worshiping Satan in the temple of God. Our generation said, our world system said, you know, church one time a week, that's pretty good. They want a pat on the back for showing up one service a week. Showing up three times is your responsibility. You don't get no pats on the back till you're there Sunday school, Sunday morning, Sunday night, and Wednesday night. And you really ain't getting no pats on the back till you show up on Tuesday night visitation. Gonna lay out, amen, some of this crowd, amen, takes more vacations than it's humanly possible. I just gotta have a vacation. I'm not against vacation, but good Lord, you gotta take one every month. I'm just so stressed. Bless God, go get in your prayer closet, let God help you. Amen, that's right. Amen, lay out. I mean, just lay, what are they doing? They're using their body in a way that doesn't glorify God. And every time they do, the devil's right there receiving. They're just worshiping me. They're yielding to every temptation I throw their way. Amen. Run off the beach and throw on a bikini. Can I just preach a little while? God help. And it ain't just the young folk no more. Amen. We just ran down to Florida. Bless God, I've seen enough wrinkles and veins in bikinis, son, make a man sick. Amen. It's ungodly. It's ungodly. Amen. If you're healthy and fit and trim, it's still ungodly for you to wear one. But hey, there comes a time when you get old enough and out of shape enough, you ought to stop. Even if you ain't saved, you just know, hey, enough's enough. Can I get a witness in here tonight? There's just some things ain't ought to be showed off. Amen. These bunch of hot grandmas. I'm gonna be a hot grandma. There ain't no such thing as a hot grandma. Amen. Getting their convertibles and their amen. Praise God. What claim to be saved? Amen. Claim to love God. Claim to go to church. Amen. Listen, you may be saved. You may be saved, but what you're doing, you're worshiping the devil in the temple of God. Whoa, hallelujah. Run their boys off the ball games. Amen. Let them lay out of church to play ball. My friend, you know what you're teaching your children to do? You're teaching them to worship the devil more than you are teaching them to worship God. There ain't no ball game this side of hell worth missing one service over. I don't care if it's a Little League World Series. I don't care if it's Junior League Touchdown Super Bowl. There ain't no game in this side of hell, friend, worth missing one service over. You let your youngins lay out to play ball. What you're doing, you might as well shove them down at the feet of the devil himself. You're teaching them to worship the devil in the temple of God. What did he say? He said, come out from among them and be ye separate. Hey, I don't preach like this all the time, so quit looking like that. I'm sweet as pie. Amen. I'm going to tell you, we're in a mess. We're in a mess. We act like, oh, it ain't no big deal. It is a big deal. It is a big deal because, listen, what did he say in 2 Corinthians 6? Look back there. He said, wherefore, amen, come out from among them and be ye separate, saith the Lord, and touch not the unclean thing. Leave the unclean things alone. Anything that even looks unclean, leave it alone. Anything that sounds unclean, leave it alone. Let me get back on that music thing for a minute. Well, what's so wrong with it, preacher? Well, amen, you tell me how a child of God can sit around, listen about fornicating, drunkenness, divorce, running around on your wife.
Amen.
Amen. All sorts of ungodly. You tell me how you can listen to that and that not be an unclean thing. It's unclean. It's unclean every which way you go. You say, I'm a good old boy. I know you're a good old boy, and so am I. But listen, saved people that are growing into a holy temple in the Lord understand there's some things that are unclean I can't touch.
Amen.
Amen. I just felt like going back and hitting that. Amen. Because everybody goes getting hurt. Well, you're just too old-fashioned. You just don't understand young people. I am a young people. I'm only 35. Still a young person. I still know what it is to grow up and your parents trying to raise you to be something for God, and yet you understand you don't fit in this world and the embarrassment. Amen. But I'm glad I had a daddy that said, I'd rather you grow up and be an oddball in this world and learn something about worshiping the Lord, amen, than turning me over to a devil. Touch not the unclean thing. Come out from among them, be ye separate, saith the Lord, and touch not the unclean thing. And I will receive you. And I will be a father unto you, and you shall be my sons and daughters, saith the Lord Almighty. In other words, those that learn the importance of separation and worshiping God alone, and learn that, Brother Dean, when I bow and yield to temptation and worldly lust and worldly inclinations, I'm really worshiping the devil in the temple of God. When I get to the place I live my life pleasing the only one that matters and worshiping the only one that matters, there's some blessings that come with that. Go with me, if you will, 1 Corinthians 3. Sister Candy, it'd probably make some of these nervous folk feel better if you come to the piano. That don't mean I'm done, but it means we're about there. 1 Corinthians 3, verse 16. And by the way, this whole passage is dealing with we're standing before God one day. There's going to be a reckoning day. And you can sit there in your pew and what's the big deal? There's coming a day you're going to wish you had listened. It's going to come a day you're going to wish you hadn't lived your life the way you wanted to live it. There's coming a day you're going to stand before God. And Paul said, know ye not, verse 16, that ye are the temple of God and that the Spirit of God dwelleth in you. Do you not know this? You're going to answer to Him one day. You're going to answer to Him one day. Don't you know that you're the temple of God and He's going to make you give an account of all the things you did with His temple. Now notice what he said. If any man defile the temple of God, him shall God destroy. For the temple of God is holy. For the temple of God is holy. For the temple of God is holy, which temple ye are. Are you saved tonight? How many folk would say, I'm saved, preacher? Just uplift your hand. I'm saved. I'm saved, I'm born again. Do you know what that verse, hold your hand right there. You know what that verse just said? Every person that has their hand up, you are the temple of God. Watch it. If you defile it, here's how serious God takes it. If you defile it, He said God's going to destroy you. Brother Will, I'm not claiming to know everything that means. But I know this. You go living in sin and you go acting like, especially after you've heard the truth about how to treat the temple of God, and you bow up and you burr up and you just stiffen your neck, cross your hands and Paul said, there's a day you're going to get in big time trouble with God. We'll tell you tonight, these ain't my hands. They're God's hands. Lucas, you saved. Them ain't your feet, son. You can't go where you want to go. Them feet belong to God. Them ears, son, your daddy's trying to teach you how to use them for God. Them ain't your ears. You a saved boy? You know you saved? Them ain't your ears. Them ears are the temple of God. You saved? Them eyeballs, they ain't your eyes anymore. They belong to God. Brother Dane, our mouths. My body is His temple. If I defile it by giving in to the devil. Is that what the devil said? The devil said, the Lord, I'll give you it all if you just bow down. If you'll just yield to the temptation and bow down and worship me. I'll give it all to you. How does a man worship the devil in the temple of God? Watch it. Just by simply not worshiping the Lord. That's what Jesus said. Jesus said, hey, have you not read it's written, thou shalt worship only the Lord thy God. Worship the Lord thy God and Him only shalt thou serve. All you got to do to worship the devil in the temple of God is just not worship God. How's your worship tonight? I ain't had no outline. I ain't had no alliterated story to give you. All I got's that book right there that says we're the temple of God. And God desires, God deserves, but God has demanded that you and I give Him worship. Who are you worshiping tonight? Who are you worshiping tonight? What you been listening to lately that when you turn it on, the devil's just sitting back saying, yeah, give it all to me. What you saying lately that when you speak and you tell them dirty jokes or you say them cuss words, the devil's just sitting back saying, yeah, say on. I like that. That's what I want. I want you to worship me. On and on we could preach tonight. You know where you're at. God's rung your bell. If you've even halfway paid attention tonight, God's rung your bell. Let's stand. Father, help us tonight. God, we've tried to preach our heart. Tried to be serious tonight. Tried, Father, Lord, to deliver it the way that You'd have us deliver it. Father, tonight we understand many a days we don't worship You like we ought to. Lord, in doing so, Lord, we're giving in to the devil. Lord, I pray that You'd spare us tonight, give us wisdom from, Lord, letting Him draw away our attention off God and to get it upon this world. Lord, there's probably some men and ladies here tonight, there's some born-again Christians that, Lord, need to get some things right in their heart with God. Lord, things that they've allowed the temple of God to do. God, as wicked as it's going to be in the tribulation when they usher in the very temple of God, that place dedicated to You in Your name, set up the seat of the Antichrist in the presence of the devil and bow down, Lord, how much more wicked is it tonight, Lord, for the child of God, the New Testament believer, to yield to sin and, Lord, to bow down to the devil. In these temples that You've bought for Your own, help us, Lord, to be serious leaving tonight. Help us to respond right, to please You in all we do. In Jesus' name, there's folk praying this evening that's come to speak to the Lord. No one's looking around this evening. Would you mind the Lord?
Would you mind the Lord this evening? Lord, have mercy. I believe He wants to help us tonight. Maybe there's some things you've been a-doing. You may get on this altar and say, Lord, I'm sorry. Lord, I'm sorry. Maybe there's grounds you've give up. Maybe tonight there's an area of your life you've been a-struggling with.